say, the last thing we had mentioned was we had discussed Bishul of a Dagar Gush, right? We had discussed ketchup and mustard on a potato. We discussed that even though a Dagar Gush is a Chumrah, Machner, but to be machner on that and on something that's already in Mishbashel, right? Even if it's a davar lach, right? So those two chumras together of Moshe Hal will not go. Similarly, one can discuss, let's say you want to put gravy onto meat, and the gravy is cold, the meat is hot. So, l'chayra, it's the exact same thing. Over here, we'll have a difference. You know, we're not going to go into what Rav Shlomo Zalman or Rav Yashar said last. We spoke about last time. According to Rav Moshe, who said that you'll be making a bishul achar bishul of a davar lach with a davar gush, so it would be mutter, and therefore one could certainly be segach on that. Now, let's say you have a very hot cup of tea. Can you pour lemon juice into the hot cup of tea? Now, some lemon juices might be pasteurized, so let's say you don't have a pasteurized lemon juice. Or you squeeze your own lemon juice, right? So, you're allowed to put that into a klisheni. A klisheni we know is mizvashel today klipa. Now, we also know that a klisheni is not going to really be mizvashel what? A klisheni is not really going to be many places of hold that the chlal drinks and the waters and the like are not going to become the bushel in a klisheni anyway. Okay, so lemon juice you could put into a piping hot cup of tea or a hot cup of coffee. Now, we discussed croutons. What if you have cooked noodles? You have very hot soup. If you want to take noodles out of the fridge and put it into the soup, and that soup is boiling hot, mutter asli, 100% mutter, because it's already mevushel. The davar is of a yavish. It's mevushel. It's not a problem. Okay. Into the pot. Into the. No. That should get me on the fire. Yeah. Into a pot of hot soup. Get the clearishu. Keep it on the fire. Okay. Now, what about butter and milk? But butter and margarine. You want to put butter and margarine onto a hot potato? Okay, margarine most likely. Okay. So it has a bit of a yavish, even though it's going to become lach. It's going to hold the major issue in the pasuk. And lemaisa pashtus is also. It's also baked. It's already cooked already. It's pasteurized. Well, milk is pasteurized. Okay. What about putting an ice cube, okay, into boiling hot soup? Say your soup is really, really, really hot. You have to cool it off. Okay. Now, l'chayra is a cliché. A cliché, we know, is not mevashel, things that are not kali habishel. We also know that water is not kali habishel. If water is not kali habishel, so the pashtus is, it shouldn't be a problem. However, it's not so pushy. This is where, if you remember last week, we discussed the difference between Yad Teledes Boy and Yad Nichvis Boy. Okay? The Chayyadam has a Chumrah. And the Chayyadam brings the Chayyadam. Okay? Shin Yudchev. The Chayyadam has a Chumrah on something that's Yad Nichvis Boy. If it's scaldingly hot, he's Machmer, okay? And a cliche also. But it can't be, it could be mevashel that's holding your hand. The Shabbos seems to take it that one should be stringent of, when it comes to malish boiling. Because the Chayyadim does have that sheet. Okay. Now, what about cold cuts? You want to put your cold cuts into the hot shalom. Mutter asu. Not a problem. Okay. What about dipping your challah into the hot soup or the hot shalom? Now we discussed this bishul achar atziyah. Not like it. If it's a cliche, you have a problem. If it's a cliche, you don't have a problem. Okay? Now, let's say you want to take a piece of cake. Not too sure. It's not like sushi, right? Okay. What about Shabbos morning? You have a hot cup of coffee, right? You have a hot cup of coffee. You have a hot cup of tea or after the meal, and you want to take a piece of cake, want to dip a donut or a piece of cake into the hot cup of coffee. Look around. It is a very hot cup of coffee. And you have Mr. Bruce says you can't put challah into a very hot cup of a plate of soup. It's a kusheni, only if it's kushlishi. So your person should be careful. Now the truth is, if a person makes coffee, if a person uses it to make coffee the way really one should make coffee, Shabbos morning, you're going to end up in a kushlishi anyway. Okay? It's a deep front. It's a Dunkin' Donut. It's an Dunkin' Donut, I don't think. Yeah. It depends how long it's in there for, and that depends. It very much depends. Pashtus is not. Unless you just put it, or it's a different type of material, pashtus, it becomes bundled to the soup. If when you leave it in there, it would remain, it gets hot, so it's ready to come open. Okay. What? Yeah. If it's Yad Nechva's body. Well, if you know, this issue with the problem. This shouldn't be a problem. That's just okay. Now, so you can't do that. Okay. What about taking a pickle? You want to take a pickle and put it into your shawl. So put it on top of your pickles or your shawl. So you want to put it on top of the meat of the shawl, or the potato of the shawl. So what would be that look of it? Not a spice. The pickle's not a spice. But a pickle's not cooked either. A pickle's not cooked. It's soaked in brine or vinegar and garlic. Pickle. It's covered in some bushel, but it's not a bushel for the purpose of the bishel like a bishel. So we'll cut it out of double gush. It's the rational that it'll become a bushel, you're not allowed to do it. Okay. Now, of course, putting uncooked spices, which generally you're not going to have this one, I think most spices come out. Come out certainly all salt and peppers are spices, so that you can put on other things. What about taking a slice of lemon and putting it into a hot cup of tea? That's a cliche. The lemon is not cooked, you're putting it into a cliche. Rational today, clean book. You can't do that. Can't put a slice of lemon into a hot cup of coffee. Okay? What about taking the dover gush and dipping the dover gush into gravy? The gravy is cold. Look at the gravy is cold. Okay. You're not going to do it. Okay. Now, what I want to discuss, those are issues of visual. What I really would like to discuss now, just for a few minutes, are issues of, what we just discussed were the rights of the issues. Okay? Now I'd like to discuss some of the rabbanim that are involved in the kitchen of Shabbos. Now, just as a primer, just as a background, the Chachamim answered leaving uncooked food to be cooked on a flame on Shabbos. Okay, they answered uncooked food to be left on an open flame on the Shabbos before Shabbos. Even though you're not cooking on Shabbos, you're putting it on the fire before Shabbos, and all the cooking is happening not by you. It was already done before Shabbos. But the problem over there is, we're afraid, Shemi Yechata the Gekolim. Maybe the person is going to smoke the coal. Now, So what's the halacha? The halacha is that you have to have a what? You have to have a glass.
Right.
Now, unless the food is already kemichel ben drusay, if the food is already kemichel ben drusay, this is called shihiyah, right? Shihiyah from before Shabbos, leaving it on the fire. If it is already one third cooked, then you could leave it even without a glass. Okay. You don't have a blech, as long as the food is one third cooked, if you're back on your side, you could cook it. Let's say you have no blech, and you forgot to put up the shalt now before Shabbos, what do you do? Or half hour before Shabbos, what do you do? What do you mean? You make a blech. Let's say you didn't make a blech. You don't have to. Okay, so there's something called kidra chaisa. What is kidra chaisa? Raw is something that's raw. Now, the thing is, this is a very interesting thing. So some people, Marshall, let's say you stop cooking the fire. You're cooking your shalom, and you realize, you know, it's not going to be a kemach of entry by the time, by the time Shabbos rolls around. It's not going to be a third cook. And you don't have a blech. So take a piece of meat and throw it in. Right? Take a piece of meat, throw it in, and it's kitrachai's raw. What's the idea of being raw? The idea of something being raw is that since it's raw, you're not going to be mechatzah in your home. The idea is you're going to soak the fire to do what? To be able to eat it tonight. But by tomorrow it will be cooked anyway, so you're not going to soak the fire. Right? Now, that being said, the Chazon Ish holds that the scenario I just gave you is 100% awesome. You know something called kidra chaisa. What do they think of wine? What? No. No. Because if you put one piece of meat into the pot, okay, it immediately becomes no longer kidra chaisa. If the pot is already cooking, because it already what's the idea is, when are you allowed to put it on? When it's totally raw. When are you not allowed to put it on? When it's a little bit cooked, but not a third cooked. The second you put a piece of meat into a hot pot, it becomes a little bit cooked already. Once it becomes a little bit cooked already, it's not going to be kidra chaisa. The only time you have kidra chaisa is if the whole pot is cold. If it's frozen, the life is dead. Because then it's not cooked, it has to thaw out. So if it's taka not going to thaw out before Shabbos, then it's not going to thaw out. Frozen piece of meat will be different. Very good. Okay, so that's the din of shihiyah from before Shabbos. That's one of the din. Okay? Now, but if it's a third cook, you don't need a blech. Right? We practice that, we're silent on that. Okay? Unless you're a parashah, we're silent on that. So therefore, that would be the halacha one could do that. Now, as a backdrop, okay, what serves as a blech? First, we have to know what serves as a blech, right? What serves as a blech, the idea of a blech is what? That you may see it back from the fire. That you maxed the fire. You're not raising the flame. You may see it back across from the fire. You stand up your morning. The fire is there. Come on. Okay. Now, so let's say I go and I put the light on. Right. And right before Shabbos, I see the fire is a little low. Right. And I want to raise the fire up. Okay. From Shabbos I'm at home, you just move about the other way. Because what you did was, you did the antithesis of a blech. You put a blech on, which lowers the flame, and now you went and you raised the flame. Now, for everything I told you until now, you don't need the blech anyway. It's already cooked.
Okay.
Well, first of all, if it's less than a third cooked, then you're going to be stuck. But there's another reason why a blech is necessary. The other reason why a blech is necessary is for chazara. What does chazara mean? Chazara means if you take the pot off the fire, to be able to put it back on the fire, okay, or any area that you have some other spot near the fire, okay, on that blech, but you will need a blech, okay, you're going to need a blech. You can't put it back al ha'esh unless you have a blech. Now, not only do you need a blech, but you also need that it's a dayan biyoda, you're not allowed to put it down. Not only you're not allowed to put it down, it has to still be hot, right? Not only that, the person has to have in mind, right, when he took it off, that he was going to put it back onto the phone.
Okay.
So these are all criteria that are necessary, and therefore, and then shihiyah would be, and then chazara would be mutter. Okay. It has to be, of course, it has to be entirely cooked, because we're not going to deal with the darbaran. That would be a didactic problem if it's not cooked, totally cooked. So far. So now, let's understand the following thing. So, In order to be able to take shalom from a pot on Friday night, one has to remove it from the fire. Why does one have to remove it from the fire? Because there's something called hagasa. Hagasa means stirring a pot. Stirring a pot on a flame is a very big problem. There is a very difficult lashon when you're shining. The person that it seems like they're making it into a direct and a perfect special focus. The idea is that when you stir a pot on a flame, it becomes cooked faster. It cooks faster. Okay? There's friction involved, and the friction creates the molecules move faster, I guess. something similar to the way a microwave works, but on a very primitive level. But the idea is that it will cook quicker. Now, if it's going to cook quicker, if it's already cooked, who cares? Right? That's really the problem. So the Rashi deals with this in that shuba that we discussed last week. Ayin Dalet Dalet in the fourth chalak of Arachayim, Ayin Dalet Dalet. He discusses over there in the shuba of Shemanayim. He says it really must mean it's only a Rabbanan, that it's up to a case. It's Zayra up to a case where maybe it's not all the special. It's not the special called Zayra. That's how he understands the idea. But the point is, you're not going to be able to remove it off the remove the chalon from when it's on the fire. Okay. Not only that, if you're going to uncover the chalon, you can't go cover the chalon either when it's on the fire, fully covered. Why can't you fully cover it? Because the Meiri says that when you're going to put the it's going to cook more, it's going to maintain more heat. Okay, but you could cover it and leave a little bit open, that would be fine. Okay, so how are you going to get the shalom down? So you have to pick it up, right? You have to have in mind, you have to be as cold as possible, and you can't put it down. And you have all the things. So you can need someone else is going to hold it for you, alternatively, if you're the only one there and you're looking to have the shalom, what one could do is pull it off the edge of the counter and hold it, that if you would leave go, it would fall down. That would also be sufficient as to be called not putting down, not putting it down. And the Rashi has a very, the question is the following. What really suffices as a block? So it is ungenommen that you don't need a thick piece of metal. It could even be aluminum foil. Aluminum foil, if you have, let's say, you had a very hot plate, you need a black on it, you put aluminum foil on it, that's a good black. Okay. It's a separation. Now, there are two types of crafts. Most people do not make their chalons on a regular pot anymore, right? Am I correct? I would imagine so. Okay? Most people make it in the craft pot. Okay? So let's talk practically about how chalons work for the craft pot. There are two types of craft pots. There's a craft pot that the old crock pot, that's a flat-bottom crock pot. A flat-bottom crock pot probably mimics a regular fire much more than the insert crock pot, because the flame is only on the bottom. Since the flame is only on the bottom, if you put a piece of aluminum foil on the bottom, that's a black. You pick it up, put it down, it's not a problem. Okay? Now, aside from covering the bottom, if you recall, one of the reasons for a black is not only that you might have to raise the fire. There are, and the reason for Chazara really is, one, because you might come to raise the fire, and the other is because it looks like it's next to Mavash, it looks like it's out of Mashapta that you're cooking. Okay, so now if I'm going to go put it back on this thing, let's say the knob is exposed. If the knob is exposed, I can still raise the flame. How am I going to say it's not from the flame? So Rav Moshe's position is the following, right? The Zera was on the fire. They didn't have knobs then, so there's no mock-up to cover a knob. The Baron called the hell, you have to cover the knob, which means you have to cover the knob on an oven too, right? You have to cover the knob. That's why sometimes you'll have a bluff that's flat without a front. Some bluffs have a lift that covers it. Same thing would be true. So, and it's a fine chumrah to cover the knob, and then you have no problem. The other issue is, now, the Baron would go so far, Pashlis, to say that covering the knob is sufficient. Right. There are those that would say covering the knob is sufficient. Why? Because that's the only way to raise the flame. Right? Rav Moshe clearly does not hold this way. Rav Moshe holds that Xera was on the mokum of the fire. Since the Xera is on the mokum of the fire, that has to be covered. The problem with an insert crock pot is is that if you're going to put aluminum foil in the insert of the crock pot, not only are you not going to diminish the heat, as you can see if that's one thing, you're actually going to trap heat. You're going to trap heat in that, you're actually going to minimize the amount of air inside, you're going to trap heat, and it actually raises the temperature, which is the antithesis of a blast. So practically, on an insert crock pot, one cannot take it off and put it back on. You won't be able to do chazar. Less is that you're mamayat the chayim. You're doing a mitzvah to do a mamayat the chayim to minimize the chayim. Now the truth is, the chazanish holds any blood. Chazanish b'chol held any blood really because of the routine. Chazanish didn't hold blood. It was a metal blood. The sex is the elder. But not a metal blood. Okay? No, it was a routine. Nothing to do with things. As we mean, you see a document from it. In the words, it's kitma over it. Put kitma, right? Kitma means you put ash on it. You cover it over there. Not to minimize the fire. You mean you're putting it out. You're making it lower. Okay? That's why raising it is a problem. Okay. That being the case, practically, you cannot take your insert crack pot out of the insert and put it back in. Right? You can take it off and eat, burn it out, you won't have a shot this morning. But, or, alternatively, you could take it out of the insert and put it on the fire. On the blast, on the fire. Oh, the hypothesis issue is not an issue that I'm really concerned with. Whatever, there's another issue with the insert. Ramadan's last writing before he was missed. It was a letter that sounded like it. I won't say to share that. There's probably 11 reasons why he would mean it. It doesn't mean it. Pashas 11 things to be done with the Sanat Mora. Pashas is not a good one. There are those that say you should put a little piece of something on the bottom to raise it up a little bit. But I think it's a homie affair. Yes. I think the aluminum foil is still putting aluminum foil. Whatever position it's in, it's still gonna. Oh, you mean that being the that's your whole black? You mean it's not touching anything? I don't think practically you'll be able to negotiate. I don't think so. But you have Makam Akhoyim on the, you have Makam the fire on the side too. How do you do it the best? So you make a difference. When does your pot touch the fire? When does your priest? When does your pot touch the fire? Well, if you wrap it, then you have a problem. Then you would have a problem. That would be it. Yeah, but it would still trap the heat. It would be hotter. The fire, it would still be hotter. You practically can't do it. Anyway, so what do you do if you want Shalom Friday then? What if you don't have a flat? Okay, that's a practical man. But Allah, what do you do? So there is a very interesting Chazanish. The Chazanish says that the Isra of Hagosah, when something's on a fire, is only an Isra when you're actually scooping out or stirring. So let's say there's something on the top of the fire, on top of the pot, and you want to take a fork and you want to pull a potato out. You're not going to move anything else. You're just going to put it in and pull it out. So the Chazanish holds you to this. Right? And he holds that's not a Hagosah. Even though other things are going to move afterwards, that's a Rama. So he holds that such a thing is Mutter. And therefore, one would be able to do such a thing. Now, you got to be honest with yourself. Are you really? Well, you're not going to have to totally cover it. You will not be able to totally cover it. Again, if you're going to take your pot off the fire, before you put it back on the fire, you have to cover it. You can't cover it when it's on the fire, unless you don't totally cover it. Okay, what happens if you're in the country, and the electricity, you have a flame on the oven, right? You have a flame on the oven. Well, let's say, the electricity in your section goes out, and your crock pot is totally dead. But someone else has electricity. What do you do? So as long as, very good. As long as it's still hot, you can take it. You don't have to have a blast there from before Shabbos. Before Shalom in Shulchan Aruch, that you can make the blast on Shabbos. Let's say Lamashal on Shabbos, your crack pot goes out of your house. You can't go anywhere else. But you have a flame on the oven. You can take a blast. Put the blast on top of that flame. and put your crap out there, put your pot on top of it. Okay? That's something that you can. Yes, do it again. That's very good point. Yes. If you raise the flame, you just pick up your glass and put it back down. Correct. Yes. Now, yes. There's a flame on you, diminish the flame. You just diminish it. Yes, you have it, you diminish the effect. Yes. The Shulchan Aruch says, a Roi Shek, Tichas HaShila, you should turn the pot over. They didn't use pieces of metal for a blast. They turned the pot over. They put a pot over and they put it on top of the pot. Right, piece of metal. They didn't have prefabricated pieces of metal. Okay, everybody, I just wanted to go through a few more points. Now, Chazara is only author al ha'esh. But less directly al ha'esh or on a blast. In other words, the mushroom. I should back that. There's something called, we just discussed Shehiyah from before Shabbos. We discussed Chazor. Okay? Now, there is something called Shehiyah L'Chatzilah. What is Shehiyah L'Chatzilah? Let's say something was not on the flame from before Shabbos. It's not there. All the cases we just gave of Chazor, of putting it back onto the fire, was something that you took it from the fire, you're putting it back on the fire. But let's say you didn't take it from the fire. Let's say you have kugel. On Friday night, it's wrapped in your refrigerator, and you want to warm it up for Shabbos morning, okay? Well, you have chicken on Friday night. You want to warm it up. What do? So the halacha is, you could put it kedera al gabei kedera. One is allowed to take a dover yovish, a dover lach that became cold. You have a problem with b'machs me'yesh b'shel lach avishel. A dover lach, you are not able to do this. On a dover yavesh, you can do this. No, you can't have hot chicken soup on Shabbos morning, unless you leave it on the oven the whole night. But you can't have it. You can't go heat it up again, right? But you can heat up a piece of meat. You can heat up chicken. You can heat up kugel, right? Take it and put it on top of the pot. You put it on top of the shalom pot. It heats up. It's fine. Okay. Now, what? So it depends if anything can be cooked in that warming drawer. If anything, if you cook an egg in that oven, in that warming drawer, you have a problem. Okay. Passion if you cook. What? I don't know what you're talking about. Talking about the Kedera blast? This is worse than the Kedera blast. This is the way the pot is made. This way. Passion is all considered one pot. And talk to their own amateur. I would tell you that you should use that water. Use the water for tea or coffee. That's my deterrence with the sterile. The whole idea of sterile got there is a shot, and it's not made. You see, the truth is your case where it would be a pot, I would say you could. But the sterile is made to cook on. So if the water that's inside it is not functioning for anything, you're using it, so then you're not cooking anything else. Right. So the passion is, I mean, it would be better if you used the water, that's true. Okay? Now, so this is a very big issue. We discussed this many times. We've done it a few times. There are those that want a taina, okay? And it seems that the fear of halacha is refurbished not this way. So this is a reading from Shlomo Zalman, that the Bela Chodesh means, Now, halacha is the problem. It says, if you have a pot on the fire, and you wake up Shabbos morning and it's burning, so what could you do? You could take a pot, turn over the pot, and then put this back on the pot. Put it back on the pot, so it's not as hot, and it won't burn, your food won't burn. Frank, it doesn't burn. I think it's called Mavavo, the Eskifashion. That the Shaila is, you could do that even before Shabbos. Let's say it wasn't on the fire from before. The Shulchan was telling me a case. It's on the fire, burning. You want to turn over a pot, you can put it on the pot. The Shaila is, what do you mean? I could turn over a pot on a flame. I could take something even out of the refrigerator. It doesn't have to be on the fire. It depends on what a pack on. See, Zok the Krimo Gov. That is different. An empty pot is not a kedera. An empty pot is a black. A pot that's cooking something, that's a kedera. So the dear kedera gamter. What's the whole idea? The whole idea is, it doesn't look like you're cooking. You know, if you cook, you know, people will cook on top of something else that's cooking. But they'll cook on a flame. And they'll cook on a flame with a black bill. So the question is a turned over pot considered a mukhlein ha'esh? It's cooked like you're doing directly on the fire with a black. Or is it a glorified black, or is it a kedera? Okay? It would seem that if something is not cooking, it would seem from the barrel of something is not cooking in it. So then, it's not really a blood, it's not really a kedera, it's just a glorified blood. Which, one could argue the kedera blood is also, because you're not really using the water, it's a vehicle to be able to cook directly on this thing, and it just happens to have some water. Okay, there's one more point I wanted to discuss. Let's say you have kugel, and the kugel is totally wrapped in aluminum foil. Let's say it's double wrapped in aluminum foil. Okay? Putting down on top of another pot might not be an issue of kazar, but it might be a problem of what? Of hatmona. It might be a problem of hatmona. Okay? And if you want to do that from before Shabbos, pashas is hatmona hamoy tesevel. Hatmona means there was an issue that the chum made that you can't, best word to use is you can't hide or put or insulate, okay, something with a heat source, even from before Shabbos. And you're not allowed to insulate something to maintain its heat, even on Shabbos. Let's say your oven goes off an hour before Shabbos, an hour before you come home from shul, or a half 45 minutes before you come home from shul, the oven goes off for the sake. You time the oven off, okay? Your wife doesn't want you to have cold soup, so she wants to take it, let's say you heat the soup in the oven. She wants to tell us, say, I'm going to wrap it in a blanket. And all I do is say, that's more. I tried making it hotter, it's only maintained heat, but on Shabbos, that's more. That's more, that's not much, that's also less. Before Shabbos, you could. Yes. That's not much of a difference. But an external source of heat is less. Okay, so now, if you have, it is better, hello, if you have something that is wrapped in tin foil, and you want to put it on top of a pot, so what is best go through and what? Opening it just a little bit. Opening it just a little bit so that it would not be a problem with Hatmona, and then you don't have to worry about it. Okay? I think we covered a lot of things. If anybody has any questions. That's not my fault. That's not rat. That's not a rat. Because aluminum foil is generally there to maintain the heat. That's almost a thing of convenience. The way you maintain it, if you're using it to store it, but it's also used to maintain heat. You would wrap something in aluminum foil to maintain it. If you put it on a heat source, it would maintain the heat. You're not going to do that with a piece of something in a plastic. Okay. Another is not foil. Yeah, but you don't want to put something in the oven. Okay, so this we discussed many years ago, a few times. It's not a problem. You can close it. Okay. It was actually something from the Baltimore class. I understand it. They came back with something in the bunch of cards. Okay, I'm going to deviate from the protocol that we've been doing the past few weeks, and I'm going to speak about last week's parsha, not about this coming week's parsha. A little bit. Partially because there was something I wanted to say last week that I didn't have time to say, so I'm going to say it now. I don't know what we'll do next week. So far, I haven't come across anything I really want to say today yet. Okay. I'd like to discuss what seems to be the motif in Parshas Eikev, Parshas Beskar, and also the mitzvah of the Rabbi Yehuda brings it, certainly in Parshas Eikev, And I want to discuss why it's in Parshasegev. What about Parshasegev? I want to discuss a little bit of that. So I'd like to read the words of Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, Shal Shlishi, Oyskov Zayin. Rabbeinu Yonah says like this, Min ha'azharayis ha'tluyayis b'leif. From the azharayis that are totally in one part. Yishomer l'cho pen tishkach et Hashem alayhim. State in Pasuk, be careful. Because you might forget the Eishim. Yishomer pen tishkach et Hashem alayhim. And the Pasuk says, if a person is going to be tishkach et Hashem alayhim, the Pasuk says frightening words. The zilt yishmar mitzvayta v'mishpata v'chukaita v'tzaycha v'tzavata, you'll become satisfied about them having sitting in the yashavta. And the pasuk goes weiter, the amarta do vavacha, koyichiva do vavacha, koyichiva is in yodzi yotzu de zachayel azeh, the zachayta zeshem alekecha, ki hu arayzim lucha koyach vachas koyach, v'hoi yim shekoyach tishkach zeshem alekecha, v'olach v'achar alizim acherim, v'avarata v'ishtach avisa lehem. If a person forgets the Eishta, it is an invariable, it is an immutable fact. He's going to go after other gods. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Yishomer l'cho pen tishkach et Hashem alekecha. Omer Rabbeinu, Zichronim Livracha. Kol mokem shenema yishomer pen ba'al. Alei zel lo yistatzes. It's a lot. So there's a lot in the Torah of forgetting Hashem. Mutarnu bozal lizkor et Hashem yizbarach b'chol eis. We are warned to remember the Eivishter at all times. V'chayev ha'odom lihishtadel liknois l'nafshay tomit. A person has to be mishtadel to be kinder for himself, to acquire for himself constantly. A person has to have constant reminders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kimoi hayira, meaning a person has to have hanhogos. A person has to act in a way that he can remember the Eidosh. How? He has to have Yerushalayim. He has to constantly drum into himself. But he has to be Yorah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have sneers. He has to act in a sneer sick way. He has to dress in a sneer sick way. He has to talk in a sneer sick way. The Kishus HaMachshavos. Pure thoughts. The Taksim HaMidnos. Ki Zerah HaKadosh Yasibu Kol HaNhova Nova V'amatira Bolea Mitzkira Hashem Yisbor. To my Shenemar V'Hashem Yitzkibu V'Yisrael Lukol Zerah Yisrael. If a person remembers HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a person constantly thinks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I should ask you what I'm thinking of. How many times did I really think about God today? What's the question? Maybe by the first three months of Krishna, it could be. First brought of Krishna Ezra. How many, well, what do we think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If a person doesn't think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, that's the way in my head. But if a person wants to gain any need of any minor in Yiddishkeit spirituality, he has to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Zohar says Hashem Elokeinu. Yishomer l'cho pen tishkach. A lot in the Torah. A lot in the Torah. This, in truth, if you read through the parasha, you'll see. The Zohar. There's a myth, there's a Gemara that Darshan, the Pasuk, of Yerushalayim, the Atta Yisro, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyom Ha'imo. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of you? Ki in li yireh Hashem Elokecha. The fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara in Menachos, Al Tikri, the Roshan and Gemara read, so we have it today, Al Tikri, Odo. How do we know that a person is going to, is Mechuyah to make Meir Brachas B'chol Yoyim, 100 Brachas every day? We know, but the Pasuk says, Mo Hashem Elokecha. Mo sounds like Meir. The Chazal says, "Al Tikri Mo Elameya." You didn't say Neiv Brachas B'Kol Yom. State in Balaturim. If you look at this pasuk, Yadi Yisrael, Hashem Alekach Hashem Ima, Kibli Yevah Hashem Alekach, Lo Amlechet B'Kol Derocha V'La'avo Yisai, V'La'avo Hashem Alekach, V'Kol Avavu V'Kol Mashiach. If you count up the letters in that pasuk, you know how many letters there are in that pasuk? 100 letters. Neiv Brachas B'Kol Yom. Mishnah Dem State Me'Ima. I don't know why I take the I and F, but men, kof, is how much? Is men. If you look in the Sefer Shari Yairah,
you'll see that the Shari Eretz is an unbelievable thing.
Meir brachas is not the shot if you make 99 brachas, you're missing one bracha.
If you make 99 brachas, you don't make 100 brachas, you're missing everything. You're missing everything.
Why?
He says, the Pasha Tadar.
Not the Pasha Tadar. A person makes Meir brachas. Do you realize when a person makes Meir brachas, he's been Zarek HaKadosh Baruch Hu 100 times. And we all know,
that what?
We all know that if you have 100 payers, how many payers do you have to give for Meir?
10.
That goes to the lady.
And of the 10 payers that the lady gets, how many go to the Kohen?
One.
A payer.
Meir and a Meir.
Come to Kohen, that's in the Shari area. That the Yisrael makes Meir brachas. The lady is Nizah from the Meir brachas. And the Kohen is Nizah from the Meir brachas.
But if you make 99 brachas, how much does the Kohen get? The Kohen doesn't get one. He gets less than one. If you get less than one, you miss the Zokter. Hafu b'gazach. What is really Meir brachas make? It really makes 111. With 100, takes 10, and the 10 makes 1. What is this? How many psukim are there in Parashat Tekev? 111. Ayik, Simon, Aleph, Yud, Kof. What is Ayik? Ayik is, singular, everybody knows this, Atbash, right? Atbash is a way of reading the Aleph, right? By the way, Moba Atbash is, excuse me, Moba Atbash. Moba Atbash, the Brutal says, is Yud Tavi. Yud Tavi is what? It's also 100. This Atbash is Ayik Bechar. What is Ayik Bechar? Aleph, Yud, Kof. The Chai, Beis, Chof, Reish, singular, 10, 100, right? Ayik, Simon. That is the Simon of Meir Brachas, which, by the way, is a gematria of Aleph, Lamed, Fei, so it's also 111. I can go on with this all day. The Meir Brachas also, by the way, if you're not a little Meir Brachas, there's also another 11 Brachas in Tor Shama. So really, it's 111 altogether. In fact, states in Chazal that David HaMelech sent to the Bnei HaGoyim, because there are different Chazal, and some say that Moshe Rabbeinu was in the second name, and some say that David sent to Bnei HaGoyim, he sent that they should make sure to make Meir Brachas for Chol Yom, and they wanted to be in the second, and then we already did the tablet, and they said, what do you know what they said? The Yatsiv, the Nochon, the Kayim, the Yosha, the Nelm, the Elm, the Chol, the Nechmo, the Nelm, the Nelm, the Nelm, the Nelm, the Nelm, how many votes are there? How many votes do you say every morning? What's 15.6? 90. Hadobar Hazeh, Rosh Hashanah, hey, is another 10. That was their response. 17 words, the Rosh Hashanah says the gematria of Meir Brachas Bechoyim. Why Meir Brachas Bechoyim? Because if a person really makes Meir Brachas Bechoyim and he doesn't devil a bracha, it's not possible that he's not constantly remembering the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's constantly being reminded of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If a person takes his bracha seriously, and he's saying the words of the Zohar, he's realizing, Eivishta, I woke up this morning. Eivishta, I opened my eyes. Because of the Eivishta, I'm able to stand up. Because of the Eivishta, I can eat. Because of the Eivishta, I can, everything. That's all Eivishta. You can't say crazy about humility. And the truth is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I've never forsaken you, and I never will forsake you. So why is it that sometimes it appears that he has forsaken us? And sometimes we don't feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer is because we are not remembering him. When a person wants that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be zoicher him, he has to constantly be zoicher HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And commensurate to that tchira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a tchira. So I'd like to be Messiah with the first three psukim in Yeshaya, Kapitel Memtes, which is Lesu Tzatzer. V'atayim l'rtziyayim azavani Hashem, v'adaynoi shichechoni. And Tziyayim says, Hashem, you have forsaken me. And Hashem has forgotten me. My master has forgotten me. Adoynoi. By the way, how many Adonim were there in the Mishkan? 100 Adonis. 100 Adonis. Adoyim. That's 100 brachas. It's 100 times to say Adoyim. Mei brachas koyim, the 100 Adoyim. What's an Adon? The Adon was Mechavel. It was Mechavel the crushing. It was a sacket. An Adon is a shas. I'm Mechavel from the other. It's Adonim. Mei brachas koyim. But there's no Yishichei koyim. Then the Pasuk says, Hatzishkach isha ula merachim ben ditna, gam eile tishkachna, v'anoisim v'yashkachim. This Pasuk makes no sense. First, Tia says, I forgot you. You forgot me. The Ebishe says, can a woman forget this chachana? Can a woman forget ben ditna? I'll forget all this, I'll forget this, v'anoisim v'yashkachim. And I won't forget. What does the Pasuk mean? Then the Pasuk says even more difficult words. Hein al kapayim chakoisif. Hein al kapayim chakoisif. I have etched you on my palm. My palm. Hein al kapayim chakoisif. Choymoisayis negdi summit. Your walls are opposite me all the time. What in the world? First of all, what does this mean? I etched you on my hand. Hashem etched the walls of our Yerushalayim on his hand. And we're in front of him for all the time. What is going on here? So the first two psukim to paraphrase the Gemara. The Gemara says that this is a conversation between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzion is another word for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael says, he threw us out. We're forsaken. Hashem says, can I forget? Hatzishkach isha ula. Can I forget the karbonis you brought in the Mishnah, in the Midbar? You brought karbonis in the Midbar. Right, Klal Yisrael, if you forgot that, if you're not going to forget the Korbanos, what else are you not going to forget? The big carbon that we brought, what was that one? The Eagle. The Eivish to Gamel, just can't forget this one. If you're going to forget that, if you forget that, you're not going to be a people. But no, if you learn Shkokas. I can't forget myself. So say it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Mashiach, that he never truly forgets Klal Yisrael. He never truly forgets the Eagle. Never. Because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's identity is with Klal Yisrael. Rav Shimshon HaShtripoli, the Rosh HaMekubalim, Rav Shimshon HaShtripoli found a place in every single word of the Torah, every single word of Tzitzikot, every word of Klala in the Torah. If you don't do the rest of Hashem, you'll have this Klala. He found the good in everything. He was able to find the silver lining, except for one thing. What couldn't he find? And then later, after his coming. So what am I going to do? Hashem turning his face away from Christ? Then she says, I'll turn my face away from you after his coming. Where's the place in that? And he's to live Yoshiv Tanason to understand that there's got to be a place in the clothes. Because from the first clothes doesn't come now. Where's the place? So he comes to the Pasuk over here and he says he doesn't understand. And after that, what is supposed to say? Hey, now, Tapayim Tachoisis, Koimai Sayah, Legzi Summit. That means Hashem is looking at his hand in front of him the whole time. The problem is, the pasuk in Eichel, Yemi writes in Eichel, what did he write? Heishiv Ochor Yemino. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his right hand and put it behind him. After the Tefah Messiah makes his coming. The heresy is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was after his Gona. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned away from Klal Yisrael. He sees his hand. And on his hand are the claim of Yerushalayim. On his hand is Klal Yisrael. The Mela, that's the Torah that Anochi after our first coming. Even when Hashem turns away, when he's looking straight and perfect, this week and yesterday's week's passion. Hashem is on Eretz Yisrael. Or Eretz Yisrael, that I've already called to see. Eretz Yisrael, that I've already called to see. When he turns away, what does he see? How does he see the Klal Yisrael? He sees Klal Yisrael. That's on his hand. He turns around and he sees. That's the hemshik of the Haftarah. The hemshik of the Haftarah is the voice of the Tarsha talks about you remember the Eivishta. And if you don't remember the Eivishta, what happens? A Tamasiyah as a Rami Hashem, the Eivishta is in the make. As if he doesn't remember you. But we have to know one thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always the Chakras. And we'll be Zohar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we won't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then nobody can do it as Eirut. If he has a constant reminder in his mind and he knows and he realizes and he recognizes and he remembers, It's not going to be like the other. It's like when Baruch was right here. But if a person recognizes that he's Kedaf, without the Ruach Shlut, he can't be Chayzer. Without a Shikha of HaKadosh Baruch, he can't be Chayzer. Remember, HaKadosh Baruch was telling us, and the Tzachar Yemi is telling us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never forgets us. It's us. Remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it'll be the exact opposite of HaLechi Achar HaSoshkom.